Let's begin. We're talking about maturity today. We're talking about becoming a grown man and a grown woman. So I've done some research. If you're dating a woman, if you are, and if she's here, don't turn around or, you know, look at her. Here's how you know that you are dating an immature woman. You ready? 10 signs by which you know you are dating an immature woman. Number one, you know what? Let's start with the men, shall we? Let the men take charge. Ladies, this is how you know you're dating a very immature man. Got it? Do you want to know? 10 signs. Here we go. Number one, he hates being dependent on. He can't commit himself to, hey, count on me, lean on me. He can't do that because why not? Because he is immature. Number two, he can't hold a serious conversation. He can talk about the weather, he can talk about sports, but he can't talk about the serious good stuff. Number three, he never had a proper girlfriend before. That's why you are his. Never mind. Okay, number four, he has no idea what he wants for the future. Hey, what do you want? I don't know. Hey, what do you want? I don't know. He has no idea because he is immature. Number five, you are only his girlfriend when that fits with his plans. How convenient. And number six, he can never make up his mind. He's a reed in the wind. He can't make up his mind. Number seven, he can't hold down a job. Number eight, nothing is ever his fault. It's not my fault. It's his fault, her fault. It's the wind, it's the weather, it's the Oilers. Number nine, he can be really spiteful. You know, like, you know, young, grumpy man. Okay? He is blaming everything else, and he's never happy. And last one, are you ready? This is how you know you're dating an immature man. He eats nothing but pizza and beer. Okay, let's talk about ladies, shall we? Fair is fair. Gentlemen, this is how you know you are dating an immature woman. Now, if that's the case, you will be no gentleman at all. Number one, her life is so complicated. Oh my goodness, everything is a drama. Number two, she is unable to make a decision without consulting her dad. Dad, what should I eat for lunch? Number three, she has champagne taste on a PBR budget. Number four, she's simply figuring out her next move. Number five, she believes that twerking is an acceptable dance move in her mid-20s. Okay, you don't have to say your friends that you heard this from me, okay? Number six, lying, stealing, and cheating. Oh, yeah. Number seven, she has a severe case of FOMO, F-O-M-O. You know what that stands for? Fear of missing out. So she's always on Facebook and texting and in selfies. Number eight, she consistently talks about her ex-boyfriends. This is, ladies, this is a no-no, because if you do that, your man will not like it. Number nine, she's unable to speak in a logical fashion about anything. Case in point. All right, last one. She expects you to be there for her, but it isn't reciprocated. So these are the signs of immature man, immature woman. Now, here's a question for you. This is the segue. How would you know if you are yourself spiritually immature? How would you know if you can discern and assess your spiritual barometer and temperature and say, am I a mature Christian? Am I a growing follower of Jesus Christ or not? How would you know? What are the 10 signs, as it were, by which you can discern your growth, your maturity? Would you say, well, prayer? Yeah, I suppose if you are a praying person, that may be a sign of maturity. Sure, okay, I can go with that. What if you are a person who devotes himself, herself to God's word daily? Okay, I think that would be a good sign of maturity, wouldn't you think? What if you are a person of generosity, that you believe that all that you have, your money has come from God, therefore you serve God, you trust yourself in God by offering your money, which has come from God, in forms of offering or tithe? Would it be a sign of maturity? Perhaps. Do you know what sign the Bible uses to measure your spiritual maturity more than anything else? You know what that is? Service. If you are a person who serves using your time, talents, and treasure, then the Bible says you are becoming a mature follower of Jesus Christ. So, question to you, are you a serving man? Are you a serving woman? Would God say to you, you are my child, and you are becoming mature and more, you are growing in Christ because I see you, what? Serving. So here's the theme and the goal sentence by which I want you to remember everything that's being said this morning. Let's have this on the slide, okay? Jesus wants you to grow by serving. More than anything else, today, this morning, from God's word, what Jesus wants you and for me to do is what? He wants you to grow, mature, be seasoned, become a veteran. How? By serving. Turn to your neighbor and say this to him and her. Jesus wants you to grow by serving. Please, take a minute. Okay. Well, let's get the word from Jesus' mouth straight. We're going to turn to two places, Matthew first and Ephesians second. This is Matthew 20, verses 26 and 28. This is Jesus speaking. Okay? Now, the context is this. Jesus had 12 disciples or followers, apprentices. Two of them were James and John. Their mom one day came to Jesus and said this, Lord Jesus, when you become a king, would you please let Jimmy and Johnny sit at your sides? Put Jimmy on your right, put Johnny on your left, so that they may rule and reign with you. Okay? Now here's Jesus' response to that request. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's read another place. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 16. But to each one of us, grace has given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Let's read verse 12 and 13 together. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Thank you. And here, this is what will happen if we become mature. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Jesus wants you to grow by serving today. Serving is a foreign concept. Serving others first is something that we don't really want to do. I'm just being honest, okay? In about an hour or so, well, more like 45 minutes, I'll be hungry, and when the lunch is being served, can I just be honest? Very candid. If I'm hungry, I want to be the first at the line. I want to eat first. I have to go against my desire, my wants, and my nature to say, would you go before me? I have to work at it. Because serving others first does not come to us naturally. Well, think about at your work, in your employment. What is the way up? Your way up is by becoming better and greater than anybody else. It's not serving others. At work, in the world, the standard is dog-eat-dog world. So you better eat another dog before they eat you up. Meaning your success comes at the sacrifice price of someone else's demotion. Does that make sense? And therefore, in our nature and how the world works operates in our days, serving others first does not make sense. It doesn't come to us naturally. We have to force ourselves, find another way. Let's follow Jesus' way. And if we want to serve, we need more of his strength and guidance. And that's what exactly Jesus said when the mother of Jimmy and Johnny came. I want my boys to be successful. I want my boys to be somebodies in the world. So when you become the King, Lord Jesus, in the worldly sense, make one of them a prime minister. Make the other one what's the secretary of state. Okay? Meaning, I want my boys to succeed, and therefore place them in this place of authority where they can be served by others. To which Jesus says, Madame, pardon moi, you are so wrong. The way up is down. You want to become great? You have to become small. You want to be served? Then you got to serve. In Jesus' equation, it's the exact opposite of what you and I want or what the world says. The way up, you want to go up? Then Christ says, go down. You don't want to become great? Become small. Because, he says, the Son of Man, Christ himself, God himself, came not to be served, but to what? To serve others. He gave himself as a ransom for the salvation of many. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the book, follows up on this. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. He assumes, does he not, that you and I are being infants. He assumes that you and I are being childish, childlike. Because he says, if you follow the way of Christ, then you will no longer be like infants. Meaning, right now, since you aren't following Christ's way, and therefore, you are being childish. You are being baby-like. And I think that's true in my case. It's true in your case. You know, I just returned from visiting my parents in Korea. My dad is 83. My mom's turning 80. And I only see them once every 2 years. Okay? And before the surgery of my wife, this was the moment. The window was very narrow, but I said, okay, Dad, Mom, you got it. You want me to come and spend a couple of weeks? I'm there. See, my mom taught me how to survive. My dad taught me how to love. Okay, so I wanted to say to my dad, Dad, happy Father's Day. Thank you for teaching us how to love. Now, in Korea, if you ever go there, it's a beautiful place. I so enjoyed myself for the first time ever. But the traffic is so horrendous. A city of 12 million people, and there are so many cars, and they don't drive like the way we do here in Edmonton, where, you know, we say, we wave, and, oh, come on in, cut in, I'll wave for you. And they go, oh, thank you. They stick their hands out of the window and say, thank you. Or, hey, rock on, okay? But there, it's a cutthroat way of driving. There's no... please come in. There's no, let me serve you. It is, get out of my way. Are you crazy? That, I thought, was a good picture of how I operate in my nature. Without Jesus, my tendency, my inclination, and in your nature is such that we want others to serve us. We don't want to serve them first. We want to use others to our benefit, to our own promotion, to our own making a name for ourselves. And that's the world in which we live. Now, however, here's how Christ changes all that. Okay? So here's how we can grow by serving. Number one. Jesus wants you to grow by serving for our character. He wants us to grow by serving, and when we do that, something good happens to our character. And I refer to Matthew 20, when Jesus says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Friends, I want to make it very clear. For those of you who are still investigating who Jesus is, those of you who are checking out church because you feel this need and void, as I have in the past, and in Christ, in his power of the Holy Spirit, has brought you here, okay? And for all the rest of us, here's the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ, the grace, the gift is this: I am not lovable. To the contrary, I am not acceptable. To the contrary. But Jesus, because he is so kind and so generous, he accepts me. He loves me. And he proved that by dying on the cross for my sins. And he is risen from the dead, from the resurrection. And he gives me his status, his credentials, his righteousness. And when God sees me, he doesn't see the junk and the stuff, all the, I can't say that word here. Instead, God sees perfect Jesus in me. And that's how he loves me. That's how he accepts me, because he sees Jesus in me. And therefore, I am forever grateful to him. That's the gospel. And when that power of the gospel works in you, and when the grace of Christ permeates your cognition and your emotion, then that you begin to see the change in you. And the change is this: when you serve others, you know what becomes in you? You become like God. What do you mean, you might say? Listen, Christ says, "I am God. I have come not to be served, but to serve you." At the heart of this God is a servant heart. Jesus Christ, in his core, is a servant heart. And therefore, we become like God when we serve. Do you see that? First of all, grasp this, my friends. Other religions may say, "Bow before me and worship me and I may bless you." This God, Jesus Christ, you know what he does? He says, "Before you worship me, and I do want you to worship me, before you bow down before me, and I do want you to bow down before me, and before you trust me, I do want you to trust me, before you do all that, I'm going to come and serve you first." It's my serving. It's my servant heart. That's what's going to melt your stubborn, rebellious heart and transform you. And therefore, whenever you and I serve, and as we grow, we are becoming like God in our character. Second, Jesus Christ wants you to grow by serving in his mission. Let me read verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to what? Equip, let's read it together, to equip his people for works of service. It's not there because I did not give to Catherine. My bad. I did not serve her well, did I? Hey, I can hear that. Quiet. Jesus wants you to grow by serving in his mission. Christ gave some of us the following offices. Apostles. An apostle is someone who has eyewitnessed the life, the works, the teaching, the death, and the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. and the apostles go around and tell everyone that Jesus has risen from the dead. And apostles, they plant churches. And as they do, they make new disciples. As they plant churches, they baptize new converts. So you might say, church planters are like apostles. Second office, Christ gave some of us to assume the office of prophets. What does a prophet do? Prophet speaks from God's behalf to his people. That's a prophet, right? A prophet is God's spokesperson to his people. So they speak the very words of God from the Bible. Who is an evangelist? Someone who tells everyone else that there is acceptance, love, joy, and power in the person of Christ. An evangelist is like some of you who are so eager to tell your friends and family members, hey, come and see Jesus. Hey, come and hear Jesus. Hey, come and experience Jesus with me. That's an evangelist. Pastors, they're shepherds. They look after the flock, not only for taking care of them in their needs, but also setting them on the right path. It's not about us, but God equips us, shepherds us, so that we may engage in his mission, leading people to Jesus Christ. Teachers, they edify us by teaching the very word of God so that we may be equipped to engage in the mission of God. So here, friends, listen. Jesus wants you to grow by serving in his mission. He says, I came not to be served, but to serve. And I give myself as a ransom for you all. The word ransom is a very technical term. We were supposed to pay the price of our own death, for our own sins. But Christ says, let me pay for your debt myself. That's a ransom. He is taking our debt, he's taking our sins, and he's paying it himself. He's making himself a ransom. And whenever you receive that power, whenever you realize what Christ has done, you know what you become? You say, Lord Jesus, let me join you in your mission. Use me to tell everyone what you have done for me. Use me to lead people to Jesus Christ each day, every day. So as you serve, you become like Christ in your character. And as you serve and you grow, and you are joining God in his mission. And third, Jesus wants you to grow by serving for his church. And this will be the last point. Let me read verse 12, Ephesians 4. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become, here's that word again, mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay? And let me read two more verses. Verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Friends, here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, when I love you, when I redeem you, when I purchase you with my own ransom, and then I send the Holy Spirit into your soul, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, you will receive certain gifts, talents, abilities, as Christ apportions it. We don't get to choose them. I wish I could, but that's not my call. He apportions what gifts you receive. It's his call. Okay? So therefore, you have certain gifts, you have certain talents, you have certain abilities. And those gifts were given so that, what? You may use your gifts to build up the body of Christ, the church. Your gifts were not given for yourself. They were given for the edification, for the common good. And I pray to God, Lord, by your grace, as I use the gifts that you have given me, may Mosaic House Church, may our guests be edified, encouraged, inspired to follow you more and more. So God's call is this. You grow by serving for his church. You identify what God has given you, the talents and the passion, and you utilize them in such a way that you are being fulfilled and others are being edified. And therefore, the job of the pastor, is it to preach? Sure. Is it to pastor? Sure. Is it to counsel? Sure. All of the above. But more than anything else, my job is to equip you all. The job of Pastor Une and the job of Pastor Christopher is to equip you all to engage, invest in your gifts so that you may use them to further God's kingdom. And this is how you grow and become mature. The analogy is that of the body. You know, I broke my finger back in March playing basketball. Okay? He broke my finger. You should have seen what I did to him. I never realized this ring finger of my right hand was so valuable until I broke it. I can't use it, therefore, I have a hard time using chopsticks. I have a hard time brushing my teeth. I have a hard time doing other things in the bathroom. Okay? I never thought my ring finger was so, so precious until it stopped working. What's the point? You are a body part. You could be the hand. You could be the foot. You could be the tongue. You could be the eye. But if you are not doing your work, if you're not doing your part, what happens to the body? We all suffer. I miss my ring finger. I got 6 months more to go. And that's a long, long journey for me. Okay? So here's my resolve. I pray to God, Lord, let me do my part. I don't want to be the weak link in the body. I want the body to be supported and joined and grow and then thrive because I'm doing my part. Don't you wish you could do that too? That as you do your part, using your gifts, the whole body is edified. Let me conclude with this. Here at Mosaic House Church, we have the house churches, and Sunday is the coming together of all the house churches. And this is what we celebrate, God's goodness, Christ's grace, and his mission for us. So I'm going to call out a few of you, and when I do, please stand and remain standing as I instruct you. Would all the lead missionaries, the leaders of the house church, would you please stand? All the lead missionaries, and remain standing, okay? All the lead missionaries, you know who you are, okay? Remain standing, okay? Friends, you've been handpicked by the Lord Christ. It's a tough job. I know, I'm one of you. And yet, this, the house church is the foundation upon which Christ planted Mosaic House Church, and he is pushing us outward through in house churches. I ask you, do your part. Joyfully, sacrificially, and effectively. And remember that God is doing something great, something supernatural in you and through you. Please be seated. I want to ask the setup team ministry, come on, gentlemen, strong and gentlemen and a lady. Ladies, I only see one lady. Where are the ladies? Where are the... Okay, so that's okay now. Yeah. All these people are fit. You know why? Because they exercise. They exercise every Sunday. Okay? I got to thank each and every one of you. Before what we see here right now, it's just an empty box. And you come here earlier, faithfully, and you make this happen. Now, I need you to know, more than anything else, what you do is beyond the physicality. Yes, it's putting up the chairs. Yes, the lighting, the stage, everything else. But I want you to remember and remind yourselves what God is doing through all this, through all this. You are engaging in God's work by doing your part. Thank you so much. Please be seated. All right, audio and visual team ministry, please stand. Audio and visual ministry. Audio and visual. Okay. El Candy, welcome back. We missed you. And I love the fact that you are back and say, put me back on the roster. Huh? Now, listen. Tough gig, guys. Because what you do is so audible and so visible. Sorry. It's like bearing your souls in front of everyone. Because we see every mistake. We hear every mistake. Now, here's the truth, friends. When the AC is working right, you don't say, oh, that's a good AC. You don't do that, do you? When it's not working right, you go, man, why is it so hot in here? Huh? Same thing with you guys. When it's working well, we may not be able to recognize it because it's working well. And we ask you to be patient with us. When we come, we're not complaining. We just, friends, remember that, okay? Say 10 commendation first before one critical input. Got it? 10-to-1 ratio. Because what they do is so important because we rely on you. Thank you, thank you, thank you again, thank you again, thank you, thank you. I call him my ace, okay? Thank you. Please be seated. Prayer team ministry, please stand. Okay, prayer team. All right. Everything else is built on your prayer. Without prayer, it's just human effort. It's your prayer what makes our natural effort supernatural. Okay, and you pray for us every day throughout the week, not only on Sunday. Some of you pray what we call prayer on the wall. They stand in the back, stand by the wall, and they pray for you as the worship is being engaged. We depend on you. Without your prayer, we don't have a prayer. So thank you so much for praying. Please be seated. Sunday school team ministry, the baby house, kids house, the helpers, the volunteers, teachers, please stand. This is such a critically important ministry. Oh, we don't have anyone. My goodness. There you are. Okay. Thank you. You standing, Bonnie? Then sit down. Listen, friends, I can't tell you how important your ministry is. You are shaping the very foundation of the sons and daughters of the congregation. And I need you to take your job seriously, more than anything else. You are shaping, influencing these young minds. And you're telling them, I love Jesus. Would you follow me as I follow Jesus? Let me tell you what he says in his word. So please and thank you. Your work, your ministry is so, so paramount. Thank you so much. Please be seated. A couple more. Offering and collection team, please rise. Those who take the time to receive the offering and those who take the time to count. Now, thank you. Because without you, I won't get paid. You're my favorite peeps. Yeah. It's an important part. Here's my point. Everything that we do counts. Everything that we do is somehow important. Because if you didn't, we would suffer from it because of it. Okay? Welcome and hospitality ministry. The greeters, the table of fellowship, the leaders, and all you who bring food once a week. All of you, rise. All at once. Here we go. Okay? Friends, remain standing, okay? Jesus, you know why you are so welcoming and hospitable? Because Jesus welcomed you in, and he was hospitable towards you. So we simply reciprocate that to our guests and to everybody else. You are the first door, and you create this environment of hospitality. Thank you so much. Keep doing that, okay? And then lastly, all the champions of our ministry, you are the point person in this area, the staff, and all the elders, please rise. Okay? The champions, staff, and the elders. Okay?
I consider you those of us who say to everybody else, follow us as we follow Jesus. Elders, hold staff accountable. Staff, support champions. And that's how we do our ministry here. We start with you. If we don't do, they don't do. If we don't do, church doesn't do. If we don't do, then that's the end of the day. So I'm asking you once again to ante up one more time. We're coming to a church season end. We're going to start kickoff again in September. I need you to be fresh. I need you to be hot. I need you to walk with the Holy Spirit so that you may tell others, follow us as we follow Jesus. Please be seated. Okay? So let me conclude by saying, those of you who have not found a place of serving, please take the time. Okay? I'm not gonna rush it. I shouldn't, but I am making it very important. Because if you don't serve, you don't grow. If you don't grow, then you're not becoming like Christ. If you don't serve, you don't grow, and you're not engaging in the mission of Christ. If you don't serve, if you don't grow, then you're not supporting the body of Christ. So there's joy. Yes, there's cost. Yes, there is. But there is greater joy when you serve. So please take the time at your own pace, but find a ministry or two so that you may serve and grow together. Let's pray. Risen Christ, we thank you so much for the joy and the opportunity that we get to serve. Yes, Lord, we get to serve. It's not an obligation for us. It's a privilege for us. Thank you for your grace that you served us first. And we want to become more like you by serving. And not only for the edification of the church, but for your mission in our city, in our nation, and around the world. You have a job for us. You have a mission for us. And we are so honored that you count us worthy of your calling. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let there be 16 new baptisms as a result in 2019. May we continually pray for our 7 friends daily and weekly through the acronym HEART, that they too may join us in loving you and serving you together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be with Pastor Une. Lay your hand, divine hand of healing. In the name of Christ, we pray, and everyone said, Amen.